the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome in to another episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. You can find them in Dickinson at 2048 3rd Avenue West in Unit B, or online at dakotarifle.co. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, along with me co-host
Eric Updike.
This is episode 37. Kind of hard to believe we've got the big 40, the big 40 coming up soon. That's been a lot of Big Skies and bull smacking around on these episodes.
Yeah, it has been. Are we going to have a party to celebrate?
We always say that, and I doubt it'll happen. We'll roll through ice fishing season without having you grill me any brats or anything.
Anyway.
So just kind of bird hunting going on at the moment. I was going to say fishing, but I sadly haven't been out fishing for a while. But maybe we could start with having you tell us about the old Pheasants Forever trap shoot that you just had this last weekend.
All right. I suppose I could do that. it was a lot of fun. We didn't have quite the turnout that we were hoping for, but we'll take all we can get. But we had about 10 shooters, and probably about half of them had never shot trap before, so that was a lot of fun. So had 5 ladies come out and shoot trap, so that was good, that had never shot before, so kind of got to coach them along and kind of help them along. That was neat. Had a nice meal and whatnot.
Yeah, it was pretty neat to see them gals that had never shot trap going out there and having the confidence to just be like, hey, will you teach me? And it'd be nice if more folks kind of found that confidence and just showed up and figured out if they liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. You might find out you like it so much, it might become your new hobby.
Hey, there you go. So, and then you could go out to the next Pheasants Forever trap shoot. There'll be another one, right?
Well, hopefully.
Well, what's up next for the Pheasants Forever chapter? Meeting next?
Yeah, I've got a meeting coming up on October 1st. That's a Wednesday at 6:30 out at the Trap Club here west of Baker. Anyone's
right.
Welcome.
Sweet. October 1st. Head on out there. And kind of thrown off getting into this episode here. The power went off on us while we were recording round one of this episode. So this is technically our second take of this episode. We got a good chunk done before it got ousted on us there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get through this one without the power going out.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. And knock on wood that we'll make it through here. But when the power went out on us there, we were talking about the bird hunting that we've been up to and things of that sort. So my forecast/report on the bird hunting so far, not been the season that I had last year so far, been out a handful of times here, and last year by now I had gotten a couple limits of sharp-tail grouse, a couple day limits, but this season I've only shot 2 sharp-tail so far, and I haven't even hardly seen any Hungarian partridge. I've only got 1 group of them to flush way out of shooting range, so it's not really not as many birds to my hand so far this season as last.
Yeah, and that's where it's hard, you know, where we had such a successful season last year, gets your expectations way up high, and then when you don't have the same results, you're kind of disappointed.
Yep, and maybe that's also the kickers. I keep trying to fall back on the same honey holes I had last year, but yep. I think I'm relying on those too much. So I haven't quite found where the birds are really concentrated this year. Maybe they're just really spread out still.
They could be spread out. You know, I've always had way better luck later on in the season. I guess when I've had the best luck, and the other positive of that is you don't have to worry about stepping on a buzz rope.
Yeah, something that I had not heard before tonight, buzz rope. Heard nope rope before, but never buzz rope.
Oh, great. Now I'm going to get accused of teaching you a new bad word.
Yeah, taking a new statement home tonight to the wife.
Yeah, so, some more good old Montana slang for you.
Yeah, some more Updike influence at the household. So.
I like sounds. That.
And so, yeah, hopefully the bird season picks up. Maybe, hopefully, if you've been out, dear listener, hopefully you've found a few more birds than I have. I think my dog's going to fire me here soon. I've gone on 2 straight trips where he hasn't even chased a bird, so...
Poor dog.
Yeah, poor guy. He's almost in an abusive household at this point. So
he's probably about ready to run away from home.
Yeah, so I got to figure that out here. Find some bird stat. But hey, if you've got a youth hunter in your life, they could be chasing some pheasant and waterfowl soon. This comes from the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks news releases here. I kind of always forget this is a thing because I don't have a young hunter of the age yet. But that youth pheasant and waterfowl weekend coming up September 27th and 28th, if you've got a license licensed hunter, 15 years old or under. They can hunt ducks, mergansers, geese, and coots on those 2 days, and also pheasants. So kind of neat deal, letting those kids go out after them birds before they've been really harassed. You ever take your son out for that?
I have. Had a good time. It was kind of weird going out pheasant hunting without carrying a shotgun. Had a pretty good time.
Nice. Heck yeah.
And it gives you an opportunity to really focus in on what they're doing. You know, when they're with you, you know, you're kind of focusing on yourself too, you know, with your gun and paying attention. And it's kind of nice just to watch them do their thing, kind of stand back.
Yeah. Hey, that's a really good point. Yeah. It really puts the focus on the old kiddo. So, yeah, don't forget, if you've got the young kids, get them out there September 27th and 28th. And just while we're talking about stuff coming up here soon in regards to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, kind of something that I didn't really realize you had so long to do, but there's still time to purchase bonus points. That goes up until September 30th. So it says hunters have until September 30th to purchase bonus points. These points are only available to hunters who did not apply for a license or permit of the same type this license year. So I could go buy me a moose point if I wanted. I didn't put in for one of those.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, I still got time to go put in for your bonus points to help out next year's draw. So yeah, still a little time. If you were remiss in doing that this year, get on there. Head on over to the old buy and apply section on Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website, fwp.mt.gov. Get yourself your bonus points.
That's a good idea. And if we do draw a moose tag, we know a guy that knows where to go now.
Yeah, Henry, shout out to Henry for taking me out bird hunting with him yesterday. Appreciated that. We didn't see anything. And you know, back to the bird hunting real quick, that was a gripe that I was ranting about when the power died there. Is it's not really a rant, it's just I more and more it feels like a valid observation that any land that cattle are grazing, like they're out on some BLM land that's being leased out to graze, I think it pushes the birds out of them. I don't think there's any sharp-tailed grouse or Hungarian partridge that really stick around when there's a herd of cows tromping around.
Yeah, them G-dang cows are chasing our birds off, causing global warming. What else are we going to...
Yeah, chasing birds, farting up a storm.
I know.
But yeah, I don't mean to fault the cows for it, but I think I just need to start being like, if I pull up to a spot I'm planning to hunt and there's a big old herd of cows on it, I'm probably going to go to a different place. And I'm not talking like a small, like... Yes, in a small place where there's cows on it, probably shouldn't be harassing the cows anyways. Right. But I'm just talking about like a big place that they've been kind of working around. I'm not going to go to the opposite side away from. I just don't know if that's going to be conducive to birds. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this theory is just nonsense I'm cooking up here. But it just seems more and more valid the more I go out.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Thanks. From that,
and about being crazy.
I was going to say, from that look you were giving me there, I wasn't sure if you were fully on board with this one. So, yeah, if you're headed out bird hunting here, good luck to you. I don't have any pointers on how to find the partridge or grouse at the moment. It's kind of aggravating me myself. But in the good news, we hadn't talked about this yet because our last episode 36, was in the title there talking about lost gear, and we talked about how I lost my dog's electronic collar. Well, to update the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show listeners, that was retrieved, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, it's also a good example as to why you should listen to your gut and just do what it tells you sometimes, because that collar was found. I thought I lost it at the second place I hunted on the day that it got lost, but it turns out that it had fallen off right next to the truck at the first place I was at. So I don't know how I didn't see that, but where it was found was right next to where I had parked my truck for the first spot of the day. And when I was looking for that collar, I didn't go back there. And my gut was saying, after I walked around in circles for a couple hours at that second spot where I thought I lost it, my gut said, Blake, you should probably go to the first place you went and just do a little look just to see. And I was like, no, that's preposterous. Yep. And then guess where it was found?
Gee dang it.
Yeah, so shout out to the Sparks family. Will Sparks and Tom Sparks down there were involved in getting that collar back to me through Henry Hastig. So
those are good people
there. Yeah, I might have to take them a pack of cold beverages one of these days.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yep, so that was nice to get that back, but I did get the replacement collar in the mail. So now I've got a backup in case it ever happens again.
Well, maybe you should wear one.
Hey. No. We don't have the same kind of kinks. but it is bright orange, that new one. So I don't know. I thought about maybe I should just be using that one instead of the black one, but I'm sticking with the OG.
There you go.
The originals still slapped on the dog, and it's still working. Laid out there for... solid few days, then got picked up and brought up. And it still had a little bit of battery when I went and got it back to my hand. And I charged that sucker up, and she's away and working again. So shout out, knowing folks in a small town area, even though it's a big section of land. Just get that word spread out, them eyeballs out and peeled, and somebody might find what you're looking for.
Well, maybe we should get something going for finding us pheasants.
Hey, yeah.
There, if anybody sees a bunch of pheasants, let us know.
Hit the tip line of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. Now, we're supposed to be the experts. I don't know. Maybe I just put that pressure on myself. I feel like we're supposed to be the expert. But I'm pretty far from an expert. If you've made it through 36 episodes of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show and you haven't figured out that this is not a expert talking to you, I don't think there's much help for you.
Probably not.
But, you know, it's gotten bad enough. And it's probably the fact that I've had two birdless trips in a row now. But I do have the fishing itch, because I've mentioned it many times before. But I'm definitely much more of a fisherman than a hunter when it comes to the end of the day. And I have not been out fishing for a long time now, it feels.
Yeah, probably all you'd catch is weeds, though.
Yeah, it's just that weird time of year where the weeds haven't started laying down yet. And, yeah, I don't know. I got to make another Fort Peck trip, I think, here soon. But got wheel bearings I'm thinking that probably need worked on and stuff on the old boat trailer, and I don't know, it's just tough. Got a lot going on.
Those are wintertime projects.
Exactly. So maybe I could limp through one more without doing the wheel bearing.
Well, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, for sure. Might cost me a couple new tires.
Yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, just looking forward to the big game seasons coming up. Antelope coming up next. You starting to get some gear together for that?
Not too much, but I do have to correct you. You said antelope, and you're a big guy. It's going to be pronghorn.
Yeah, you know, I'm way better at sticking to the old bison. That's the pronghorn / antelope one I'm not as good at.
Oh, all right.
I do like to call it out, but no, my brain's still always going to just stick with the old antelope.
No, I haven't got any gear out, but I was probably on my next days off, maybe go out and start doing some target practice and that kind of thing. I've been kind of doing some e-scouting and looking things over on Onyx, and probably maybe go out and get some boots on the ground here, hopefully my next days off.
So what kind of makes you determine, like, as you're starting that e-scouting, you thinking about, like, finding new spots that you've never been to before, kind of maybe seeing how you feel about some old stomping grounds? How often do you think you go and explore new places?
Not very often, but I'm due.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And yeah, taking the old kiddo along. We know a good handful of folks in our circle with pronghorn tags this season.
Yeah, we do. It's been a good year for all of us.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully it's all of them get filled.
Hopefully.
And the deer, yeah, you travel the old roads a bit more than I. What's your feeling about the old deer numbers? I saw a post put up by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks saying in this lower Yellowstone area, they've got some blue tongue going on, a couple other diseases that are mucking deer out a little bit. What's your take? You seeing a fair amount still out there?
You know, I haven't seen as many whitetail this year as I normally do, but I've seen a lot of mule deer, and I've seen a lot of really nice bucks starting to come out of velvet and whatnot. So I think there's good potential for some big deer this year. That's a positive. Maybe you won't have to shoot a 2-point.
Well, it depends on how late into the season we get. And
that's right. Second
who's around.
Day, bam.
A second day, yeah. Did I tell you that I had a friend that wasn't even like involved in that small deer conversation last year? If you need to catch up, that we've gone over this in some earlier episodes of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. There's even an episode titled Shooting Small Deer. So, you know, I had a buddy from clear down in New Mexico. I was telling him that I drew an either sex antelope tag, pronghorn tag this year, and he said, oh, so all them does better watch out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I take offense to that. Yeah. You don't know my story from last year. What do you? I know you're not a Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show listener. What's going on here? And he was like, well, would you shoot an antlerless pronghorn? And I was like, well, yeah, if it was late enough in the season. And so, he was like, well, there you go.
Far enough in the season, so you're talking like second or third day?
I'll let it go to the fourth, fifth.
All right.
No, we're talking like once I start seeing us get to 4 or 3 weeks left in the season, that's kind of when it's that's really the whole season, four weeks.
But wait till the last weekend, then take what you can get.
Oh, but then what if you see nothing? Like,
that's all right.
Oh,
they sell beef at the store.
What will my family survive on for the winter?
Exactly.
I'm going to have to start shooting rabbits.
There you go. They're not bad either.
I did see a massive jackrabbit. The one hunt I tried to go on without Jeb's collar, we were out, and I was like, he's been good enough, and I buzz him rarely enough. I'm going to give him a chance without the old e-collar on, and that is the one time we kick up a giant jackrabbit, and he chased that sucker for a hot minute without realizing he wasn't going to catch it.
Yeah, seems like they know when they don't have that collar on. They're complete different animals.
Yep, absolutely. I felt powerless. All I could do was just say his name a couple times, and then eventually you're just like, well, all right, guess he's just going to turn around when he turns around. So luckily, that's only been a one-time experience in my life. But yeah, hopefully I don't have to survive just on rabbit meat this winter.
Yeah, you could be like old Cameron and have scrambled eggs and rabbit in the morning for breakfast.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I'd rather go for back to lay on ice fishing and try to get me some pickled pike or something.
I'm not a big pickled fish guy, but...
come on. As an Updike, you should be eating some herring. That should be a Christmas tradition in your house.
No, not quite.
You got those Scandinavian roots in your blood.
Yeah, I suppose.
Have you ever had pickled herring?
Not that I can think of. No, wait, I take that back. I did. I was a kid.
What's your least favorite animal you've ever eaten?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm nothing against paddlefish, but that pickled paddlefish is kind of a winner for me.
Yeah, I didn't know how to clean mine when I got it. And yeah, that meat didn't come out the greatest whenever I cooked it up either.
Yeah.
I think that my vote would probably have to go to sage grouse.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
Yeah, they are. Kind of a sagey taste, obviously. But
oh, yeah, you smell it immediately when you open them up. And you really got to do some special stuff to them to make them spruced up.
Yeah, you got to put some seasoning on them, that's for sure. But if all else fails, you can always make jerky out of them. That's good.
Yeah. Grouse jerky, one of my great secrets. If more people discover that, then I don't know, might have too many grouse hunters out there.
Yeah, that's about the only way to eat those in my book.
Yeah, but need to get more to hand for sure. So, there's your kind of bird forecast and report. Been tough going. Comparing this season to last, I'd say it's been a little bit tougher of a go. I think the birds are still around there, but finding out where they're concentrated, might be a tough one.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, well, you got what? Do you have any outdoor plans coming up here, or other than in between now and big game season? You got anything coming?
Not really. Not much at all.
Yeah, to just keep you in the know with our co-host Eric Updike's life here. His work schedule changed around a bit, so he's been stuck at work a lot more than traditionally. So you're slaving away.
I know, gee dang it.
And here pretty soon, now in September, I read that we lose 90 minutes of daylight this month in our area. And so that's just the time when you really start seeing the time where right now I can feasibly go home after work and throw the bird hunting gear on and get the dog loaded up and go out for an evening hunt. But pretty soon even that's gone because it gets dark too early. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be driving to work in the dark and driving home in the dark.
Yep. So here pretty soon it's going to be full on big game swing. And hopefully coming up here in an episode or two, we'll get you somebody like an expert on or something. I know we had a couple folks involved with Pheasants Forever that were talking about being interested in coming on. So as we get closer to pheasant season and big game season, we should be talking a little more pheasant outlook here with some folks in the know in our area here in Region 7. We've got some expertise on the line that I think we can tap. And I think that's about it for this episode. Just kind of hoping for more birds and kind of missing fishing a little bit.
Yeah, oh well, it's still early in the bird season. They'll come.
Yeah, I do forget. You know, it's easy to chomp on the bit here in September. But yeah, old pheasant hasn't come into full swing yet. Again, that youth weekend coming up the 27th and 28th. But then the rest of us have to wait until a little later in October for that to roll around. But I'm excited for it. Ready to get the full bird slate in front of me instead of having to be selective.
And that's where it's tough when you got an antelope tag, opener of pheasant, also the opener of antelope, so that makes it kind of tough, kind of torn.
And it is going to be tough. Say we get deeper into the antelope season and deer opens and you've got those running at the same time. It's a tough cookie to crack.
Then you got your dog looking at you like you're a traitor when you leave without him with the hunting gear.
Yeah, he sees you get the rifle in the old scabbard and he's going to be like, what the heck, dude?
Yeah, my dog pouts when I do that.
Well, shoot, mine was even sad when I jumped in the truck to come out here and record this evening. So
yeah,
that's how it goes. So, all right, well, if you're getting out bird hunting, I hope that you find more birds than I have so far. Get them to hand. And you got anything else for the folks, Eric?
That's it.
All right. Well, this has been episode 37 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company in Dickinson. And we'll catch you in 2 weeks on episode number 38.
Sounds good.